Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
If you missed our earlier program, you've got to catch it, talking about what is about this Ebola and what's taking place and how does that compare with the influenza. And when we're talking about a comparison, I believe that the actual comparison is that the number of people who died in 1918, 1919 with influenza is equivalent to or approximately equal to 65% of America's population versus 65% of America's population dying at that time. But all the details are found about on the Torch. But I mean, major things are taking place today. We're going to be talking about how the city just in northern Syria, how they're right on the border of Turkey, mm-hmm. and Turkey's looking in the eyes reportedly of these Kurds that are being slaughtered and not helping out. I mean, it's just tragedy what's taking place and how we're sitting back. And according to Pat Robinson on CBN, he says, you know, America's strong enough to just, I believe the words were squash ISIS. I mean, just totally squash it, mm-hmm. squash them. And so we got to ask ourselves, you know, why are we not squashing them? Why is the former CIA,
Leon Panetta saying
that it's going to take 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why would you say it's going to take 30 years? Less, in fact, people understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's amazing. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when we're trying to be distracted by the left hand, because it's like, if we could squash it, and we are, by the way, they've tried to convince Americans that we don't have this military power anymore and we can't do anything, but we can. They're just choosing not to, as Leon Panetta said last night on Fox, or this week on Fox yeah. News. He said, no, we can do it, and our president has the ability to do it and the courage to do it. The question is he going to make the decision to do it?
Will he?
And if, in fact, you know, it is what he taught for 4 years and what Chicago Tribune attributes himself and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in doing and teaching. We actually have her paper written on Saul Alinsky and a letter she wrote to Saul Alinsky, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. about learning about these organizing techniques and tactics. And so we'll talk about that, because there's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
Mm.
The Arab world needs to be organized. And in that context of that, you say, okay, you know, what is his training? What does he do? What's he talking about? And based on the 13 rules for radicals that was written by his and Hillary Clinton's mentor, this is like 101. This is organizing 101. You have to have a creative, militant action that's going continual, and you got to keep them on fire. It's real difficult to keep them going, but this ideology thing is not the Sunni and the Shiites. And as they're rearranging things, and so we talked about earlier programs, you know, you're looking at a caliphate being formed. You're looking at ISIL, you know, the Levant, which is all the nation.
Region.
What's that?
That whole region down there.
It's all that region right around Israel. And it's happening before our very eyes, but it's like all of a sudden now we see people getting involved and saying ISIS, 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 you know, and it's like, well, I mean, think about this. Hamas is Iran's militant force. This is the reports. And so when we saw Israel fighting for her people, where people were living in storm shelters, that was Iran's force, military force, shooting those Iranian missiles into mm-hmm. Israel. That's what that was. And now all of a sudden, we're not even paying attention to Iran, as we talked about in earlier programs, and everybody's focusing on ISIS, ISIS, and we should. It's just evil. But if we can't, according to, you know, Pat Robinson and others who seem to have knowledge of our strength and our nation and the history that have been around a while, you know, we can squash ISIS. We could just, obviously you can't destroy the idea, but you can destroy the one who's holding the knife trying to cut the next human being's head off.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and you can defend this right now. They have an American right now, another potential person they're talking about beheading, and this one person has an American accent, and so they're wanting, FBI is requesting that if you would see this person and hear their voice, their mask, now to find out who this is, to prevent this from taking place. And so, you know, what's going on? Well, here we are. We've talked about over and over again how, you know, the president of Turkey got in office based on his anti-Semitism, based on his hate towards Israel. Iran did not get touched during the Arab Spring, and although they cried out for help, but now Iran is like this huge force that Turkey and Iran is almost like, I don't know, Ezekiel 38 is taking place. I mean, you got Persia going on, and you got, you know, these things that are taking place right now. That, and when you talk about, you know, Syria, you're talking about, you know, Russia and their influence in there. And you're talking about, you know, some of the things that we mentioned in regards to when they were setting up to present President Obama for the second term at the Democratic National Convention. Behind them on the screen before Vastai, you know, dedicated the service, you know, the chaplain, you know, Vastai.
Yeah.
And there's just symbolism there before they began to say that they did not want Jerusalem. They wrote Jerusalem off as the capital of
Israel
and were booed by members in that particular audience for bringing God back in. You know, thank God for that Methodist pastor who stood up and for Israel and Jerusalem. That they had the Russian military navy behind them. We have all this for you. We have all this for you on the VFN Torch. We'll make it related links, but understand that it's not a secret. It's just happening right before our eyes. But we're just going, no. Every single time we're like, no. That wouldn't have been a signal to Vladimir, would it?
Right.
Would that have been a signal to? I mean, and we're talking about not just like a 8x10 behind somebody when they're talking. We're talking about something like a 40-foot by 40-foot or 80-foot by 40-foot huge picture of the Russian Navy is at the stage where we're going to choose the leader who's now in office and all those that are with him. And you're looking at those who selected him. And I think we really believe, you know, and you don't, I don't, I'm just talking about what I believe. That as the president's pastor said, you have to understand he was selected before he was elected, and he has to be able to do what these ones who selected him to be able to do. And I think they were the ones trying to push their agenda while he was probably writing a speech. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not just a one person thing when you do such a large, leading such a great nation, and especially when, according to, you know, Pastor Wright, when he said, Reverend Wright, the president's pastor at the time, one who married him and mentored him.
Right.
And he said, you have to understand that he was selected before he was elected, and he has to take care of these guys first. And so that's what was really going on behind there. But here we are today with Putin coming down into the Ukraine. Mm. Nobody's saying anything. We're not doing anything. And the stuff we are saying, if it's a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, we're talking like a 1 or 2. You were watching Christians, churches being taken over in Ukraine and putting ammunitions, according to CBN News, in the basement and kidnapping and killing members of the Christian church there. And we're seeing where the president of Russia, Rush, is rebuking our leader for coming into Syria, saying we shouldn't have come into sovereign territory. Mm. Think about that. I mean, he's busting in the sovereign territory of Ukraine.
That wild.
Yeah, and then so reluctantly, I mean, it definitely wasn't something that wanted to take place. you know, we went into Syria and, as we talked about that earlier, and started bombing them. We get rebuked by the king of Rush. I mean, you look at Rush and Persia and Gomer and all these, which is Germany. You're looking at the Lord is soon to return.
Mm.
I mean, this thing is wrapping up quickly. I mean, it was amazing how quickly it's wrapping up. But this is going to be a great harvest. I believe a third great awakening, not just in America, but I believe for the world. I believe just a major, graceful, merciful harvest is going to take place in the earth. But what's interesting about this situation right now in northern Syria is it's reported that the Turkish soldiers, which are some of the toughest fighters in the world, reportedly, are looking over the border into this particular city. Is it, what's the name, Corbin or Kobani?
Yes.
And looking over into Syria, which is right on the border of Syria, and it's like Texas and Mexico, right, like that. And they're looking into the eyes of these Kurds being slaughtered,
mm-hmm.
slaughtered. And it makes me think about what happened to the Christians in Turkey at World War One, when they were in the northern parts of Turkey. Islam doesn't like the fact that, you know, based at that time of these Christians, they were blessed in their community. They were prosperous. They were doing good. And I guess it didn't fit the narrative. And so they went and began to kill these Christians in this particular city. And then they marched them all the way from northern Turkey down to the south. And as they did that, 450,000 Christians died in that march. They were robbed, they were beat, they were killed. And reportedly most had to convert to Islam by the time they settled in the south.
Wow.
And it was, I mean, even in the time of President Bill Clinton, that Turkey still had not acknowledged that reality that they did that. As a matter of fact, they said, if you expose this, if you say that we did this and we don't believe we did do it, that they just said it's difficult moving mass numbers of people.
Wow.
And so they said that we will there will be a world crisis that would take place. And so it was ready to go through. It was going to go through. President Bill Clinton had it all set up. He made a promise that it was going to go through. And as soon as he was going to do it, he got a phone call and he told them, the reports are, to pull the bill off the floor. National interest. This is in regards to national interest. Do not take that to a vote. And Turkey today, the same Turkey who says, you know, you're gonna suffer greatly if you ever tell what we did to Christians. This is the one looking over the border to the Christian Kurds today and watching them be slaughtered and doing nothing. If you have not yet heard JJ, you need to hear it. This whole thing, from the moment Secretary of State began to speak, and you could tell me his name because it's not on my head right now.
John Kerry.
The Lord laid on my heart, it's not going to be good. And he spoke to me very specifically. It's not going to be good for Christians and Jews, what they're beginning to do when they begin to say, we're going to bomb Damascus, and we're going to bomb it now. Back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you're a Christian, we'd like a minute of your time. We all see things are going from bad to worse in our nation and abroad. Christians are being beheaded in the Middle East. Israel is being attacked from all sides. And back home, many of our religious freedoms are under severe legal restrictions. The Lord asks us in Psalm 94:16, "Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers?" Throughout our nation's history, the church has been a force for good in America and abroad. It's time for the church to rise up and bring the gospel and biblical values back into every aspect of American life. We have the numbers and we have a voice. Let's use it. A new new coalition has been formed by a large group of Christian organizations and ministries with a shared purpose: to mobilize Christians to rise up and make their voices heard in the public square and in the voting booth. On October 12th, we start the campaign with I Pledge Sunday 2014, The Rise of the Church, a nationwide rally via webcast, available online or at a church near you. We encourage all Christians, church leaders, and ministry leaders to go to iPledgeSunday2014.com and sign up to participate in our October 12th kickoff webcast, and then actively work to bring God back to the forefront in our nation. Together, we can change the future of America. iPledgeSunday2014.com.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye Guy.
This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. You know, we all have hopes and dreams, but how do you react when those finally come true and sometimes you feel let down? Priscilla Shire explains that those can be moments that you learn to trust God.
We go from feeling really great and grand about everything that's happening in our life to feeling a little down and dejected about some of those same things. Whether it's your marriage, your children, your job, the career path you chose to take in the first place. And do you know that it's at those times in your life when you don't feel like you're where you're supposed to be that God can finally step in and say, now I've got your attention. Now I can take you to where I want you to be.
As the great King Solomon learned, the things of this world won't fill a heart. God has what you truly need, and He alone can make you happy. You'll hear more from Priscilla Shire today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We have good news that we're going to be sharing with you. We're talking about what's going on. Remember, though, this is the word. It's going to be the best of times, and it's going to be the worst of times. It's going to be times that test men's soul, what you think, what you want, what you feel. And I know that I've gone through some serious tests. You know, what am I thinking? What am I wanting? What am I feeling? Is it all about the Lord, or is it about me, or is it about religion? And my own personal journey, I think all of us are going to, because you stand alone before the throne of God, you answer for your own life. It's not a collective situation. And as I was talking before the break about what happened to the Christians, or the Armenian Christians in Turkey, it's called the Armenian Genocide. And even President George W. Bush, it came as far as him, and he signed an agreement when he was running for office and told the American Armenians who had to come to America, obviously, because they were being, genocide was trying to take place to these Christians in Turkey. And so he promised them that he would acknowledge all that, all they wanted, all the American Armenians want is just to acknowledge that this is what happened to 450,000 of us. It was terrible, starved and killed. And so he promised he would do it. But what happened? All of a sudden, we went to war. And as soon as we went to war, the reports are that since President George W. Bush needed the Turkey to participate and needed, I believe, their nation to be able to land some aircraft in, that he had to back off on his promises. And still to this day, to my knowledge, the genocide of Christians in Turkey, who was watching the genocide today over their borders in Syria as we speak, we can understand that they're not going to help them. They see that as, you know, if you're talking about the Quran, you're talking about the death of the infidel. You're talking about the conversion. You convert. In other words, you say, I was a Christian, but now I'm a Muslim. I used to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way to God, that God gave his Son to die for me. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for my sins, and God raised him from the dead from the third day. And now he's at the right hand of the Father. And if I accept his sacrifice in my place for my own sins, then God will accept me because the blood of the Lord is upon me and forgives and washes away all of my sin. Say no to that. And say yes to Muhammad is the prophet of Allah, their God, and that Jesus Christ is a prophet, but he's not the Son of God, and that he has to come back for calling, repent for calling himself the Son of God, and he will assist the 12th Iman or whatever that comes out of that hole in the ground that they march around, I believe in Mecca, whatever it is. And so it's like, that's a total, you know, and quite often what we're seeing is the death of Christians who won't convert. And 450,000, there was an Armenian genocide, and to this day, even to George W. Bush, I doubt very seriously that President Obama is going to acknowledge the death of the Armenian genocide that took place in Turkey. And we're watching it. Can you imagine knowing all this history, looking over the border from Syria as ISIS is murdering and maiming and destroying your family and raping your women, and you're looking over into the border of Turkey, and knowing, oh yeah, the Armenian genocide, the Christians that they killed, 450,000, they're not going to come to our rescue. The toughest fighters reportedly, potentially, you know, alongside of America in the war, in the world, are not coming to the rescue. Well, they didn't come to the rescue when they were marching the Armenians down from northern Turkey. So you're seeing all this go on. You're looking at prophetic. You know, when you think about Psalms 83, we've talked about that coming into focus. You're looking at, you know, Ezekiel 37 and 38, where all of a sudden God's just going to, you know, do something so powerful, you know, magnanimous, as Pastor John Kilpatrick says, the church of his presence. And in that, he is going to show himself mighty to the Jewish people. He's going to defeat the enemies. But simultaneously, I believe the power of God, God's been speaking to us and showing himself mighty. And we believe a third great awakening is going to take place. And just recently, John, just talk to us about what the Lord was showing you about, because he says these signs follow those that believe. Right. You know?
Well, I had this dream a few nights ago. I was on a bus, and in this dream, I was in this bus, and I was talking to a couple that was sitting behind me, and I was able to stand up in this dream, very large bus. And they were talking about moving to South New Jersey. Right. You know, large for me, you know.
Yeah, right. I was going to say nothing because I don't hear the stream. I was like, stand up, okay.
I was standing.
Do you normally
Volkswagen
duck
when you're in a bus? Well, this is serious. No. Focus. Okay. All right. This is serious.
So I'm talking to this couple.
You're standing up.
I'm standing up, and I'm encouraging them because they're moving to South Jersey, and I'm, you know, explaining to them about some things about New Jersey. They're from the Gulf Coast. And the next thing in the dream, we arrive at my neighbor's house when I lived in New Jersey, in their front, in front of their house. And we're at the back of the bus. So as I'm standing up, you know, talking to this couple, I can see through the back window that something's going on in the house that I used to live. My neighbor actually in the dream lived in the house. And we see the paramedics show up. We see ambulance.
It was like a house that was literally cut in half in regards to making two houses out of it.
Right. It was like townhouses. Townhouses are
right.
Put together.
Yes, that's right.
And all of a sudden, we see the paramedics show up. We see the ambulance. We see a gurney, like a stretcher. And we see a body bag. And as soon as I saw that, my heart was broken because in the natural, I know of the neighbor, the young man's in his 20s. And I go, oh, no, I hope nothing happened to him. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just gripped, just broke, totally broken.
Shredded. Your heart's just broken over the whole thing because he's dead.
He's dead.
He's in a body bag.
Yeah, well, they brought the body bag. Okay. I hadn't seen him yet, so I didn't know.
Okay, they're bringing in the body bag.
They're bringing the stretcher. They're going to pull somebody out.
We're talking
out.
About a dream that you just had. Okay.
And so I said, I got to get off the bus. So by the time I get off the bus and I get to the front of the door, I see the young man's mother and his brother standing side by side. The young man who's dead is actually laying on the ground on the floor. And I see the two other paramedics looking down. All four of them are looking at this dead young man in his 20s.
Outside on the ground. Okay.
And in the dream, it was interesting because I'm like belly crawling, you know, to him.
Because you're so broken, you're just lowly. Right. Like low to the ground because you're just so broken over this whole thing. Right.
And so
you're feeling such deep compassion for this loss.
Yeah, because he's dead. So I'm like I'm on my belly, literally just crawling over to him, mm-hmm. and I get into his ears and I call him by name. I said, you know, I don't want to say his name, but I said, listen, God loves you. Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. God loves you.
You're talking to a dead man's ear.
Dead man's ear, but you know, those in the dream, I was aware, like, just go for it. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Just go for it. Just tell him, you know, give your life to Jesus. That news, you know, and then within a few seconds, all of a sudden, he jumps up. I mean, he was dead, but he jumps right up.
This dead man jumps up.
Jumps up.
What were you saying? What you say in his ear?
I said, Jesus loves you. Give your life to Jesus. Oh, just give your life to Jesus. Wow. I was just so broken, you know. So I go from this extreme brokenness to all of a sudden the most amazing, exuberant joy that I've ever experienced in my life. I experienced in this dream, and we're jumping, all four of us, the two paramedics, his mother, his brother, and we're saying, he's alive. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And we're pointing to the sky, and we're up about 5 feet in the air jumping, and the feeling was just absolutely amazing. And it was just so interesting to see how we went from straight brokenness and shreddedness, full of compassion, to the most, I can't even express to you, the emotion that I felt of immense joy. You couldn't contain yourself. You couldn't monitor yourself. Your body just had to react. And the only way that our bodies were reacting, we were just jumping, leaping with such joy and excitement, declaring that Jesus is Lord.
And the power of the gospel is in the message of the cross. And we're going to talk more about this. We get back from the break because it just writes exactly what the Lord just said to, you know, Rick Joyner in the dream that we just shared about. The most powerful thing that we could do in these times of tragedy is to do exactly what God showed John to do in this dream. More, get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
But Jesus said this, believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe the evidence. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. In other words, you got my words and you have the manifestations of God's Spirit. So much of the church got to say, listen, you got to believe me. I mean, look at all these verses, memorize these verses, because we have no evidence. But even Jesus, the Son of God, said, listen, believe me when I'm saying this, but if you don't believe my words, believe the evidence. And so there's evidence. When you got this baptism, when you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have evidence in your life. So when you sit in the witness stand, everybody's terrified because they know that the Spirit of God's going to speak through you, and nobody knows what God's going to do next. You want your witness to be effective, you need evidence, not just words. Understand, people may say yes and people may say no, but you know, they know that God was present, and they'll say this when you come amongst them. They'll say, these men have been with God. If you've been with God in your head, and you've made a decision to follow God, and that's great, and you're made a decision to be a disciple with God, it's kind of difficult if you're approaching somebody intellectually, because God's wisdom frustrates the intellect of the intelligent. It's about the Spirit of God convicting us, letting us know His Spirit bears witness with my spirit, not your head bears witness with my head, or your intellect bears knowledge with my intellect. It's about your spirit bearing witness with my spirit that I'm a son of God.
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're just talking about a dream that the Lord had given John, and also mentioning a dream that we had allowed Rick Joyner to share on VFN TV. It just came September the 28th or something like that. And talking about, you know, all this tragedies happening in America and this dream so bad he couldn't even explain it. And he could explain it, but he thought it wouldn't do any good. Yeah. It's worse than ISIS. And so all of a sudden, this priest friend of his shows up in the dream, and he's known for one thing. And so he's thinking this is probably what this guy's going to do. But he did the same thing that John did to this dead young man. He just began to preach a pure message of Jesus Christ. I mean, there's power. The enemy has convinced a lot of folks, including people who call themselves Christians, that there's no power in the name of Jesus. But it's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. It's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is so powerful that in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says some people are going to use my name, and things are going to happen for them, and they're going to be so convinced. And they're going to take on ownership thinking because my name was so powerful that they were powerful and they were in my family, that they're going to actually show up. Yeah. This is how powerful his name is, that they're going to show up and they're going to say, you know who I am? That's me. And he's going to say, I never knew you. And that's how powerful his name is. So when you see people like Kenneth Copeland put over his ministry everywhere he goes, Jesus is Lord. I mean, you have to begin to make those declarations in your life. You know, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Jesus is the Lord of my marriage, my family, my business. Jesus is the Lord of our church gathering, our organization, Christian organization, our nation. We have to begin to declare those kind of things because there's power in the name of Jesus. Even the sons of Sceva, when they went out and began to talk about, you know, running demons out and that type of thing, he talks about in the book of Acts, that for a while it even worked. So all of a sudden they started realizing, wait a minute. He's talking about somebody he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And then they finally, you know, did a few things to them. But there's just power in the name of Jesus. And God's just been speaking about this huge harvest. And it's
I think the other part of that, too, is the compassion part, that, you know, being able to preach. Yes, power in the name of Jesus. And we can share the gospel. Mm-hmm. But I know the Lord's highlighted the fact, too, that we need to preach a message out of brokenness and compassion for the people in which we're trying to reach,
right?
Not talking to them, but preaching to them with the love of God and the heart of God.
Yes,
their salvation matters.
That is so true. I mean, that's probably the outside, of course, obviously the name of Jesus, but it means nothing if we don't love and we don't care. I mean, you think about it here, he's shredded, he's broken, he's crawling on his belly, he's over the whole situation, he sees this tragedy. He's feeling the infirmities. He's feeling in that dream, you're feeling compassionate. You can't fake compassion. Mm-hmm. You just can't fake it. So you can't go, I'm going to go to a Bible school and I'm going to take compassion 101. Mm-hmm. And the enemy messes with your compassion because of just you know, he says the love of most will go cold because of great increase in wickedness. Mm-hmm. And that's the compassion. Compassion is two things. You feel bad about the situation, but you also do something about it. Mm. Pity is when you just feel bad about the situation. Mm-hmm. But compassion has two components. For example, when Jesus came out of the mountains, he saw the people that were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's what the word of God says. And he says, so he responded. He was moved with compassion when he saw this. So he taught them many things. So he saw the tragedy. He saw the harassment. He saw the helplessness. And he pastored them for a moment. He taught them the words of God. And so you think about that. I mean, that's what the, and so you're, that's definitely a key element. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's people, you know, men's lust for power that you can get in the series. It's available for all of our partners that are out there. One part of the promise that he's promised us is one of the teachings is called men's lust for power. And people really want, I mean, they're looking for a trophy. They want people to recognize them. They want to be powerful. Mm-hmm. And they'll just run after that, the power of God, the way, you know, like a whoredom spirit, like they're whoring after it, if you would, you know, they want that power. And, you know, that's what people, you know, people really want know. That.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you have the ones who are, this is the good example. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King talked about this in one of his messages, was that there's this road that, you know, the parable of the Good Samaritan, this particular road that was used in that teaching when it was talked about was a very dangerous road. It was a very dangerous road. And so when these religious folks were walking down that street, it was very dangerous. They saw this man who was robbed. He was beat up. He was tattered. He was torn. And so the religious people looked at this whole situation, dangerous road, dangerous circumstances. We don't know who this person is. You know, even though they're broken, even though they're robbed, and they say to themselves, what will happen to me if I help him? If we stop here in this dangerous situation, what will happen to me? Well, one thing, by the way, you will not see miracles. And so, but the Good Samaritan comes along, same dangerous place, same situation, the same person that's robbed, tattered, and torn. And this is what he says. This is what Dr. King, this is one of Dr. King's messages. He said, what will happen to him if I don't help him? And so that's where we are. You know, he says, greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for his friend. And I think about, you know, this doctor over in Liberia with Samaritan's Purse.
Camp Brentley.
And we have this particular interview right here about him, about his whole scenario as Franklin Graham is talking to Glenn Beck about it. You've got to see this.
When the doctor found out he had Ebola, were you there?
I informed him.
What was that like?
It was really one of the most sobering experiences of my life, if not the most. It was horrible.
Are you friends with him?
I am, yes.
And as we said, pretty much a death sentence. How long? 14 days? To live, how long do you usually live?
It depends, Glenn, but some people can pass in as quickly as 4 or 5 days. Some people will, you know, live after 10 days.
How much of the time from being diagnosed to death is agony?
A lot of it is, but the last several days are terrible.
Can you describe a little bit?
Sure. Ebola, really, they're fluid producers, so it initially starts off a lot like, as we've described, other endemic diseases or even flu, but you quickly develop a very high fevers. You headache, to terrible muscle aches, joint aches, but then they begin to have, it's like a gastrointestinal disease. They begin to vomit profusely, uncontrolled diarrhea, and then in advanced stages, as you've read, they can have bleeding. Significant bleeding, and so
Do organs melt? That's what I've always heard, that your organs melt. Is that true?
I'm not sure I would say that they truly melt, but it truly infects multiple organs. It's overwhelming sepsis of the body.
Okay, so you find out, you get called, and you find out, was it you that found the serum, or how did you stumble across the serum?
No, I was in Alaska when they called me, Glenn, and that we thought he might be infected, and it wasn't until 2 days later that we got the test back that he was infected. Okay. And I called his wife right after Ken had called her to tell her that he was infected. I called her within a couple of minutes just to have prayer with her and to try to comfort her a little bit. And I told her, I said, Amber, we're going to try to do everything that we possibly can. And Glenn, when I hung up the phone, I just thought to myself, I have no idea what to do. He's in Africa. How am I going to get him out of there? I need to get him back for treatment. How in the world are we going to do this? And Glenn, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you see, I believe that Jesus took my sins to the cross, that he died for my sins, that he was buried for my sins, that God raised him to life. And when I was 22, I gave him my life to take me, to spend me, mm-hmm. to use my life however he wanted to use it. And all of my life, I've just put my faith and trust in him for the day to day, even just Lord, right. get me through today. And when I hung up that phone, I just felt like I didn't know what to do. And I was at a loss. Ken Isaacs runs our programs. And I talked to Kenny, and I said, Ken, what are we going to do? How in the world? He said, Franklin, I don't know. But we had a policy that if you get sick anywhere in the world, a plane will come get you. A policy. Mm. You know, insurance. We pay
this
for that.
This is a big difference.
We pay for that. Well, when they found out that we needed to go to Liberia, they said, well, what's this for? Well, we have a doctor who's sick. Well, what has he got? He has Ebola. Oh, we don't do that. And so the insurance company just right then denied it. And we thought that we had it worked out. We even told Ken that, you know, hey, listen, we think we got an insurance policy. We're going to get you home, get you back to someplace that can help you. And I think it was that Tuesday or that Monday or Tuesday we realized that that plane wasn't going to work out. And it was, and I tell you, God moves people, mm-hmm. and he moves individuals. There were people in the State Department at levels, I'm not talking about the leadership, right, but right. people that are mm-hmm. in the State Department, career diplomats, workers who knew where the levers were and made decisions to help Dr. Brantley. And they just did this on their own. They controlled airplanes.
There's only one airplane that could do this, right?
They now have two.
Okay.
Just one at the time. And that plane, and here's another thing. When that plane took off, it had a pressurization problem and had to come back and land. And it was, I think, about 12, or maybe it was 19 hours delayed getting the pressurization problem worked out. If Dr. Brantley had gotten on that plane early, he would have died because he would not have had ZMAP. I think God stopped the airplane and delayed it until the ZMAP, we were able to get, his team could put one dose of ZMAP in it.
Okay, so let.
So you're looking here, that's Samaritan's Purse. We're talking about a good Samaritan. Franklin Graham heads up Samaritan's Purse. Make sure you make a point. Richest country in the world, America. Sow towards Samaritan's Purse. Let the Lord see that we do care and we do want this particular Ebola gone and everyone healed as we act on compassion, just like Dr. King said. What will happen to them if we don't help them? More when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye
Guy. 5 years ago, and you remember this, Pat, 5 years ago, the Lord led me to buy a vehicle, okay? The Lord led me to buy a vehicle, and it was a time in our life that, you know, we didn't want to get into a car payment or nothing like that. And since then, I've had car payments, you know what I'm saying, since that time. But at that particular time, we just wanted to just buy something cash. And I wanted to spend about, I think it was $3,000 or something like that, you know, and then just a second vehicle.
Pocket change for John.
Walking around change.
That's Pat's bling bling money. But anyway.
That's Chris's. Chris is the bling bling.
Chris is the bling bling.
Pat just buys sinks, paraphernalia. Oh, they have toothpicks with like the logo on it?
I just buy tools.
Yeah, tools. Yeah, that's his generator.
Nothing I can use.
Well, so I'm spending all this time, and me and Pat, actually you and I were both looking for a vehicle that time. And
was that the same time?
Yeah, same exact time.
Oh, wow.
So I'm scouring.
Which is paid off, by the way.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. God is good.
God is very good. Mm-hmm.
You want to pay mine off now?
No. I got another one.
Okay.
Yeah, to move a bigger, longer
that limousine. Have you seen it? Yeah, oh, it's on the torch. Yeah. If you haven't seen
that one, big
Pat's
enough
limo.
For his trainer.
Oh, yeah.
For his trainer to fit in there.
he's bulking up, protein.
I had to make room for my tools.
Oh.
Is that what he calls his biceps?
Wow.
You got names for them now?
You got names? He removed guns. He didn't want a more subtle approach. Calls them tools. Now, yeah. You know, he thought guns was over the top. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I got pistols.
water gun pistols.
Water gun pistols.
Squirt. Cap gun.
Cap guns.
Cap.
Ting, 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 ting. What were you talking about?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This doctor, right, that we just heard Franklin talk about and the miracles that brought this man back, the Lord is just powerful. And I mean, Franklin Graham is just a humble, amazing, like you said, at 22, I gave my life and said, use me. What a concept.
Yeah, right.
Lord, here I am. Just use me, whatever. By the way, that's the right commit we all need to make. And then, you know, the story of him taking the leadership of Samaritan Purse, the particular person who started it, you know, based on reports was that his life was ending. And he looked at Franklin and he said, I need you to take this over. They were in a plane flying over the territories and that type of stuff. And Franklin just took the reins. And it just progressed into the fact that Glenn, we've been here in Liberia for 10 years.
Right.
This didn't just happen. We've been here for 10 years. I mean, it's just so humbling to think about being in the presence of greatness and humility wise, what the Lord is doing through him. But because Franklin heard from the Lord and didn't know what to do and cried out to God, God led this doctor back to the States. He lived because it's a 90% mortality rate. You die 90% up to 90% die. Mm-hmm. And one of the assistants did too, but reports are today,
he's actually, Dr. Kent Brantley is donating his blood to a journalist who's coming back who has the virus. To fight the virus, he's actually giving him his own blood, I believe somewhere in Nebraska. Absolutely amazing.
And the reports are this journalist got the virus by washing his car.
Wow.
Well, I'm not going to. Okay, I'm safe there. Of course, that's all yours, too. You're safe.
He's safe.
But I think that he was washing like bodily fluids, like somebody got sick in his car or something's washing out in the backsplash or something that happened.
Oh, wow.
I mean, think how toxic that is. And if you missed our earlier program talking about, you know, that the number of people who died in the influenza plague in America is equal to almost 65% of the world's population, 65% of America's population. It's like 50 million people died of that. And we got to pay attention and stay on top of it. And they had a problem with acknowledging this is real, this is really happening. And we got to begin to do like Franklin and just say, dear Lord, you know, in this thing that you would stop this and also stop the
Enterovirus D68.
Yeah, that's sweeping across the land, that children are being infected by it and they're unable to breathe and some have died. And you think about all the children going to school, and this is more viral versus contact has to happen even as much as sweat with Ebola. But this other thing is viral in the air.
And pray for what's happening in Dallas. I mean, the first patient, he's passed away now. He's dead. And his family's infected. They were quarantined. So we want to continue to pray that we can have all those folks that have been contaminated or exposed completely healed. And so this thing no longer spreads anywhere.
And if you go back and look at our earlier program, you look at some footage that happened when the influenza came across America. Once they understood it, they began to quarantine folks. And that's not evil to quarantine someone. It's very loving. If you have a cold and you don't want your family to catch the cold, you don't sneeze on your family.
Right.
Right.
You know, you tell everybody, you know, we need to wash our hands. And that's actually a loving thing to do. If you have something that's contagious and you're not telling anybody, that's called hate. You're actually spreading around this viral infection and you're not caring about anybody that they're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you love someone, you know, and you've gotten affected by something, you know, you say, yeah, just hopefully work just like the doctor did. You know, we can get through this thing. And if other people have gotten infected by something, you want to quarantine them, which means keep them in a place and watch them and keep other people from being infected by that particular virus. So you're actually cordoning off that thing. It's like, imagine if you're just trying to round up. And these this virus is like cattle, and you're trying to round it all up, and not the people, but the virus itself. And you quarantine that virus when you do that, and it doesn't spread to other folks. It's just amazing. It's always been around. For some reason today, that this political correctness and saying, you know, they would feel really left out if you quarantined them. Like, you know, 65%, you know, 50, you know, million people could die. I mean, if many people. Based on the ratios of what happened in 1918 with the population in America and in the world, and with a much travel that's going on right now, it could be 200 million people. Based on those same numbers, an estimated 200 million people could die if we had the same effects of something that they were convinced. And this is something they said over and over again with influenza. This doesn't happen. This doesn't happen. People don't die from the flu. This doesn't happen. This is over and over again. They were saying, you know, this doesn't happen. And next thing you know, 500 million people were infected. 50 million people died in the context of that 600 something million died in America. And it was 10% of the ones who got infected passed away and died.
It represented a fifth of the world's population, a fifth.
A fifth of the world's population. But that was 10%. But Ebola is 90% chance of death. So 10% was the other. This is 90%. In addition to this intraviral D68 that's going around, and it just makes us think and go back to when the Lord said in 2 Chronicles, again, chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, he says, when I send a plague amongst my people, this is what the word of scripture says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal our land. So it seems like, you know, that, you know, dear Lord, that, you know, maybe we've done wickedly before the Lord, that maybe we've all sinned and fallen short. And so if it means just crying out to God and asking for forgiveness and beginning to do what's right, isn't it worth, you know, that's the best way to quarantine disaster, to quarantine viruses and plagues and locusts and anything that may come, because God can stop it instantly. I mean, a whole disaster was planned for Nineveh. And God had planned this disaster for the city called Nineveh. Nineveh, you hear Nineveh being talked about right now in the news. It's actually Christians in that particular city. But God's, you know, before I take this city out, I'm going to find somebody. Oh, I'll send Jonah. I'm going to send this guy named Jonah. He's going to go there and he's going to tell them the plan, the storm that I fashioned against the city. And when Jonah gets there, they'll have a chance to respond. In other words, here was this storm being fashioned. You know, plagues, disaster, everything's coming against Nineveh. God doesn't want that to happen. He wants to tell them you have a choice, you have a chance. And so Jonah goes and he preaches God, preaches repentance, and talks about if we turn from this way and turn back to God, then the city will be sustained. And guess what? Nineveh's leaders, all the way down to their cattle, fasted. They put like muzzles on their cows and they cried out to God. They believed the word of the Lord. They believed Jonah. And guess what? They turned back to God and God stopped the disaster. God stopped it. So we can either try to convince ourselves the word of God's not true, that your insurance company that says they do not insure for acts of God, read your policy, that they don't even know where they got that from. Or we can say, listen, let God be the truth and every man a liar. Lord, if I need to get right, I'm going to get right. I'm going to turn back to you, Lord. I'm going to turn back to you, make you the Lord of my life. Find out at meetmyfather.org where we made that same decision. And maybe hearing our stories can encourage you to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much and God bless. Don't forget, this program is brought to you by our sponsors and our partners. Make sure you visit them. Go to VFNTV.com and click on sponsors. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Forget VFNTV.com, where you can find everything that you ever wanted to know about VFN TV and the daily video program and so much more. Also, the torch. You'll see a flaming torch in the left-hand corner. Go ahead and select it with over 3,000 highlights that are available for you. So that you can just search and look and share and pass. A lot of times, the torch allows us to add more to our conversation. We have pictures, we have videos, we have graphs sometimes, and just allows you to take more time to really go deeper because we only have a limited amount of time on air, but the torch allows you to just get all the related resources and all the related articles and allows you to go so much deeper. Also, we have different tabs for you under the VFN torch where you can look up prophecy. All the prophetic words that have been shared, and there have been quite a few. We have words, wisdom moments. We have original intent, and we have a new one that I'm very excited about, third great awakening. That's what we're believing for. We're here keeping a conversation light. We're here to have a conversation and with hopes
and prayers and belief that a third great awakening is going to touch our nation, and the pendulum is going to swing back. Instead of hearts and minds and actions that are turned away from God, hearts are going to be turned automatically to God and on fire. Mm. So thank you for being a part of this conversation, and thank you for being part of a movement of keeping the conversation light, and that's L-I-G-H-T, the light of the world. And we want to keep Jesus on our minds always. Because yes. He is the lifter of our soul. We love him, and we just want to do everything that we can to make him famous in the world today.